the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Hello and welcome to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcourie.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Now, we have an action-packed show tonight. We're talking about parental conflict, separation and how divorce affects our children and what steps we can take to lessen any difficulties associated with moving apart. Joining us will be Russell Hearn, Principal Psychologist from CHUMS, Mary McAvoy from Neave Solicitors from Bretherton Law, and Joe Marr from Vista St Albans. We'll also be talking to a young person who's recently had an experience of parental separation. But last but by no means least, we will have our roundup of all that's on for kids in the local area at the weekend in association with Raring to Go. Join us at the end of the show for the Raring to Go section.
So, yeah, we're talking about separation, divorce tonight, Lydia, and we're going to be kicking off with an interview now with a young lady called Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Welcome
there
to the studio.
Hello, thank you.
Now, we'd like to capture what your experience has been,
yeah,
what age you were when your parents separated, and just tell us a little bit about what it was like living in a house where parents were in conflict.
Yeah. Well, I just turned 20 when they eventually split up. But I can't really remember a time when they'd been happy, really. And I remember, yeah, it definitely getting really bad, really, yeah, not nice to be living at home in my late teens, maybe 15, 16.
So this is the parental sort of tension,
yeah,
the marital tension had been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, simmering.
Simmering, yeah. And what was that something you just got used to?
It was definitely getting worse. I don't think I didn't get used to it. I think me and my siblings, coped with it for a very long time. But I think you develop coping skills, whether they're good or bad. I know I wasn't happy at all. I got very, very angry a lot of the time. Me and my mum fought really badly. I was angry, really, with them. I thought it was just, it was unfair. It felt like, you know, you're being lied to, or, you know, people aren't telling you the truth. Like, something's obviously very wrong in your house. Like, you know that you're not a normal family. But people just didn't speak about it. It was all hidden. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I thought it was really unfair.
What do you think was the hardest period of that, you know, during that difficult time? Was it actually when they separated, did you feel relief or shock, or was that a welcome thing or not?
It wasn't unexpected. And I remember I was out with my friends when my sister rang me and in tears and said, oh, Mum and Dad are splitting up. And I burst into tears. Like, even at 20, it was awful. You know, I felt like a little child again. But after that, I was at university and I did my best to stay out of the, you know, the moving house and the messy bits. So I was lucky in that way. But yeah, it's a big relief now, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And retrospectively, relief. How do you feel, you know, that they should have maybe managed it better? How can parents who are listening maybe going through that, what advice would you give them?
To be more honest with your children, children aren't stupid. We pick up on everything. So I think a lot of parents don't realise that. So just more honesty, I think. And even if it's Mum and Dad, you know, aren't happy at the moment, it's not your fault, though. Because, and especially for older teenagers, I felt like my mum and dad weren't there for me, or I wasn't allowed to be unhappy. That was hard. That was unfair.
Because if you're sort of in teenage years, you want time to be moody and grumpy and perhaps express your own issues,
yeah.
but there's no room for it in
yeah,
that
there wasn't
kind of situation.
Any room. Yeah, it was all mum's sadness and unhappiness. And when I got cross, mum would say, well, how do you think I feel?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, how do you think I feel? And it was like a competition to who was the most unhappy. Yeah.
How do you feel it's affected you? I mean, you're a young adult now and, you know, on the brink of, you know, your life. How do you worry that it's affected you long term, or is that?
I'm engaged now, and I do think about how it's affected how I view marriage. And yeah, I do think sometimes, what is the point? Will we ever last? You know, and you hear so much about divorce, and you hear the statistics. So, yeah, it does affect you. Yeah.
So it sort of worries you and makes you more fearful.
Yeah.
And what sort of coping strategies? I think you were the eldest in the family.
Yeah.
What sort of coping strategies did you try and help your siblings develop?
They were my biggest worry, really, making sure that they were okay. And my brother was very little when it was all happening. Talk to them, or make sure that they're just talking. Like I'm a big talker, and the rest of my family aren't really. So I felt it was my job to, I don't know, talk, mediate, and it wasn't really.
Have your relationships with your parents improved since they separated?
Yes. And I think now that I'm older and I can look back and see that they are human beings, and that, adults aren't perfect and they do make mistakes. But at the time, when you think that your parents are all-knowing and should be doing the right thing.
What advice do you have for children listening who are living in that situation, whose parents may be on the brink of separating?
It's really hard. Remember that it's okay to be selfish and to look after yourself.
And you can seek help, obviously, in different places.
Or talk to friends, parents, talk to other adults that you trust, who can maybe give you advice.
Great. Okay, well, we just wanted to... Is there anything else that you wanted to say about how it felt, Lucy? Anything? Did you feel you had any intervention, any help, any assistance?
No, not really.
Yeah,
it felt quite on my own.
So that's what this show is about tonight. Yeah. We're trying to flag up what help is actually out there for both the parents and the children, but really for parents to realise that it's not something that doesn't affect their children.
Yeah, because it definitely does.
Okay.
Definitely
well, thank you very much for your contribution and for your brave, your brave discussion. Thanks a lot, Lucy.
Next up, we'll be talking to Russell Hearn, who's the principal psychologist from CHUMS, in just a second.
Friendly Radio. We're Radio Verulam in West Harts.
And welcome back to The Parent Show. Tonight we are talking about how parental conflict, separation or divorce affects our children. We've heard from Lucy tonight, who's had experience of living in a house where mum and dad are not getting on and potentially going to separate and then finally separating. But we're joined tonight on the phone by Russell Hearn. Hope you're there, Russell.
Yes, I am. I'm listening.
Now, Russell, tell us about the organisation that you work for firstly. What is CHUMS about? What does it stand for?
Well, CHUMS sort of comprises of three different teams, really. It originally started as a team working to help children through bereavement around the sort of Luton area, and has been established doing that for about 10 years now. And they've started to then sort of expand their wings, working with more children who they recognise have mental health problems. So we now work with children who've suffered quite traumatic grief, so there's sort of some trauma involved, and also... Since November last year, we started running what they call a Tier 2 service, which is for children with sort of mild to moderate mental health problems across Bedfordshire.
So we've been speaking to Lucy. I don't know if you heard the interview tonight, but she was in her teens and early 20s when her parents separated. And I think a key question would be, how does this kind of family conflict affect children's mental health and children of different ages?
Well, I don't think there's one answer, because all children are very different. Some children are more susceptible to emotional experiences and change than others. Some can be very resilient to certain situations. But so I think it all comes down to a number of factors. There's the sort of the state of the relationship that mum and dad have, the type of communication that they have between each other, and then there's the personality factors as well, not only mum and dad, but the child, so that those personality factors will affect how they can deal with the separation. But I think for any child, it's a massive, massive change. And it's going, I think people who say, well, it won't affect the children, actually it will. It's just a matter of how much.
Russell, can you explain, if for people listening, you know, looking out for signs of either children being perhaps affected by a family situation like that, what sort of behaviours might change? What signs might they look out for? Or what might crop up in conversation that they need to sort of address?
I think primarily it will be a change in their normal behaviour. It does depend on the situation and depends how traumatic an experience it is. For some children, you might find that they seem to be becoming a little bit more clingy. They might be seeming to regress, going back in sort of developmental stages, maybe a year or so. Some children might sort of start wetting again, depending on their age. They may start not wanting to go into school. They may start complaining of tummy aches all the time or headaches, so there's sort of some physical symptoms. The behaviour may change. They might become very withdrawn, very quiet, very isolated, or they might actually go the other way, start to become very angry, very aggressive, unable to really contain their emotions.
And is, you know, for parents listening who really want to get the help for their children, I know that there's help out there for adults with various organisations, and we'll come on to that later in the show. But for children, can they call up your service? Can they talk to someone? What sort of help is out there?
Well, I think, first of all, you've got to look at how mum and dads are managing the situation. And I would encourage anybody to think about how they can maybe go through mediation. Maybe that's what you're going to talk about later.
Yes.
To make it as smooth a process as possible. Some parents, you know, it's the right thing to do, to separate them. And like I said, there will be an impact on the child, but it's about minimising that. The most important thing is that mum and dad continue to be mum and dad. They need to be able to communicate, because they still need to parent, even though they're not actually living together. And for the child, when they see that people suddenly, and the usual line is, oh, we don't love each other anymore, well, for a child, that means the potential for ending love is very possible, so that means the potential for you not loving them anymore is very possible. So if you're noticing those symptoms, there's a number of sort of agencies that you could go to. I mean, Chums works across central Bedfordshire, and we operate a self-referral service, but wherever you are, probably the best first point of call is either your GP to discuss the symptoms that you've noticed, or go through the school nurse, the school health advisor, or the health visitor, depending on the age of your child.
I think that people might assume that for older children, even children, you know, in their late teens, that they can sort of manage it themselves. They've got their friends, you know, and that they'll get through it. And, you know, mum and dad maybe are so wrapped up in what's going on with them. But, I mean, when you say they need to still be mum and dad, what kind of things does that mean? Does it mean maintaining routines at all cost?
Routines, I think, are very important, because, you know, there's enough change that's going on with the separation. But being there, still being available, having one-to-one time with those children, being able to talk, being able to answer questions, being able to express what is happening. One of the worst problems we see, I think in particular, is when mum and dad have been separated. And the worst scenario seems to be when suddenly they separate and the children wake up one morning and dad's not there anymore. And that can be completely devastating, because children don't have an appropriate story. There's not anything that they understand about why this happened. Mum might be too upset to explain. Dad's too angry to want to explain. So they're left with this sort of void and misunderstanding. So children should, Lucy was talking about being honest, and I think that's a really good idea, but the honesty has to be age appropriate. So you wouldn't go into all the details with a five-year-old, but you might have to find an appropriate way of explaining to them what's happening.
And I'm sure there's appropriate literature out there, books that can explain what's happening. I'm sure you've seen those as well.
You're going to ask me to recommend one, aren't you?
No, I promise. I'm just curious. There must be age-appropriate resources out there.
Absolutely. Libraries are full of that sort of thing. And you'd be surprised if you typed, you know, did a Google search or typed something in Amazon, you'd come up with half a dozen at least on how to manage these things. But, you know, if in doubt, seek support and seek help and talk to, you know, other professionals or family members about the separation. I think that the worst thing is if it's sudden and unexpected.
Okay.
If it's something you have to do, then you need to sort of look at the procedures and how you can minimise the effect on children.
What would you say, I know it's hard to generalise, but the long-term impact, say, of dad or mum leaving suddenly, it has been on children, because you must see children in your practice who've been through that.
Well, the whole premise, I suppose, of being a parent is that you're teaching your child how to operate as a social adult in the future. So your behaviour, whatever you do, you are modelling for the child what is appropriate. So, you know, if you're shouting and screaming and yelling at each other, what you're saying is that this is appropriate behaviour for you to do when you're an adult, but also they may start a little bit earlier and start doing it now.
Mm.
So you need to think about the behaviour. But in terms of how it affects children, you know, if there's a stable mum and dad, they have a stable sense of the world that they live in, which means they're going to have a better self-esteem, they're going to be more confident, they're going to be more likely to explore the world around them, they're going to be trying new things, and their self-esteem will be boosted. They're less likely to suffer from sort of anxiety, depression or mental health problems in the future.
And we know that Lucy was talking, she's the eldest child in the family. Do you find that the older sibling often carries the burden?
Sometimes. I think boys in particular, if they're older, think, well, I'm the man of the house now. And that can cause a lot of problems for mums in particular. One, because they're trying to establish routines and boundaries. And if the father had, you know, been abusive in any way, or if there was any domestic violence, then a boy child trying to exert some sort of male control can be seen very negatively by mum, as though she's sort of going through the same situation again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important for mums and dads to say, look, we may not be together, but we're still the parents. We're
okay.
Still in control. We're still managing your life. We're still looking after you.
Okay, that's a great message. Russell, very, very quickly, can you give us your website so people can have a little look at the service you provide?
Oh, Chums, yes. www.chums.uk.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Russell.
You're welcome.
All the very best.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Now, we've obviously talked a lot about the emotional aspects of separation for families, but what about things like mediation and legal aspects, which are also daunting for families? We're going to come back in a second and speak to Mary McAvoy from Neaves and Louise Larkin from Bretherton Law.
Neaves Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neaves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neaves Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Thanks for joining us again on The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, as we mentioned, we're talking about separation this evening and we wanted to zone in on the legal aspect specifically. So we've got Mary McAvoy from Neaves Solicitors and Louise Larkins from Bretherton Law. So we're packed with all the legal know-how we could possibly want on the subject. Thank you for joining us this evening, ladies.
Great to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Right. Well, Mary, can I start with you? Let's talk about the period before separation. When is the time to seek legal advice and why is it necessary?
Well, a lot of people come to see us so that they're unhappy, they think things aren't quite working out, but they don't know how to move on from there. So they come as one of the inquiries just to see what their legal options are. And we're able to say, you know, this is how you'd stand over maintenance, this is what might happen over the house, this is what could happen over the children, and then they go away feeling more informed. And we see a lot of people like that who we know from follow-up inquiries have been quite happy. It's really helped them to make decisions, and quite often they haven't needed to come back. It's actually empowered them in their relationship to make things work better.
That's amazing. I was just about to ask you, it's not binding, it doesn't mean as soon as they come in for a chat that there's any necessary follow-up?
No, you'll find most solicitors, if they go to properly trained family solicitors, if they look for the resolution qualification and sign, we'll be encouraging them to think of all their options and to consider counselling and relationship work on their relationship as well.
Great. Now, this is, it's not a particularly nice subject. What if one of the parties has cheated, and what are the implications? Does that change things dramatically?
Not really. Really, sorting out, it's almost like dissolving a business in a lot of ways. We're just trying to help people move on and make the best of what they've built up during the relationship so that they can both move on in terms of material income and property. There's really no aspect of punishment or judgment about people's behaviour. It's very rare for that to happen. But of course, it damages the relationship. That's why people are getting advice at that stage. So it can really create problems over trust and communication. That's the significance, really, of cheating.
Right, yeah. And what about custody? Because I think that's probably the swear word in divorce, isn't it? That's the word everybody dreads. If one wants to fight for custody, do mothers normally get custody? Is that the default?
No, and it hasn't been for years. As a matter of commercial reality, women have often ended up being the primary carer. But as long as I've been a solicitor, which is 31 years, there's really never been a gender imbalance. I don't know if Louise would agree with this, but I think it's on what's best for the children. And we also don't use custody. We haven't used that word since 1991.
Really?
Yeah. That's it's obviously it's in popular parlance, but it's not a word lawyers use anymore.
We've been watching too much Dallas.
These days, I think it's quite different in America. I'm on a website for American parents, and it's quite a different sort of rhetoric. But here we talk much more about shared parenting. The Children Act is interested in what's the children's wishes and feelings, and there's a checklist where we look at what's best for the children, and the focus is supposed to be very, very child orientated. One thing I would like to say is any parent who ends up trying to sort things out over their children in court is really creating a very, very hard rod for their own backs. Really, I would encourage anyone who's got problems over children to mediate about them.
Perfect timing, because I was just about to say, obviously, Louise is a lawyer but a trained mediator. Louise, can you tell us a bit what mediation is? How is it different to conventional family law?
Sure, yeah. I mean, mediation is basically a process to help couples who've decided to separate or divorce to work together to make their own decisions about the future, rather than going to court or using lawyers to mediate to negotiate their settlement for them. And so they might want to go to mediation to talk about arrangements for their children, also housing or finances. And there's really many benefits to doing it that way over the traditional legal route, particularly when there's kids involved, really. The main benefits being that it tends to improve communication between people. Often when people split up, communication has been hard for a while. And if they've got children together, they kind of need to learn to communicate in a different way, because they're still going to co-parent those children, even though they're no longer partners. And mediation, where they get round a table with each other and a trained third party, can really help them do that. And I also find that it tends to reduce tension and hostility between them. And one of the main benefits really is that it's a lot quicker and a lot cheaper than going to court. So there's lots of benefits to it, really.
Now, can I just check, excuse my ignorance, but I hear mediation, it kind of makes me think that there's a solution. But it doesn't step away from divorce or separation. That's still the end point. But you're doing it in a kind of negotiating in a more civilized way.
That's right, I mean, mediation is not about relationship counselling. Obviously, there's always a place for that. If there is any prospect of the couple, you know, reconciling their relationship, then they should go and get specialist help for that. But mediation really comes when they've made the decision that that's not going to happen. They are going to terminate their relationship. But there's a whole host of things that they need to sort out. And getting round the table together with an independent third party who can help them work out those arrangements together and take it one step at a time, really, can only be a positive thing, really. Obviously, it's not suitable for everyone, and it's not an easy option. You know, getting together in a room with your ex isn't, you know, everybody's idea of fun.
Yeah.
but unfortunately, you know, divorce and separation, you know, isn't easy, whichever route you choose. And at least this way, you're face-to-face, you're sorting things out, you're making your own decisions. You obviously, the idea is that a lot of people try and do that on their own, around the kitchen table, and there's no harm in that at all. But a lot of people struggle with that, and they just need that extra third party, someone who's specially trained to help them have those discussions and make them fruitful, really, and move the process forward.
So it's not two lawyers, my lawyer, your lawyer. It's like us sitting together with a third party. So it automatically, yeah, the dynamic must reduce tension.
Yeah, exactly. You've got no sides, if you like. You're kind of working together to try and work things out. There is another process which does involve lawyers, but still is an adopts an amicable approach, which is called collaborative law, where again the lawyers have to be specially trained, and it's again a round table meeting, but both parties have their lawyer with them. So that's another option for people. But mediation itself doesn't involve the lawyers. Most people that go to mediation do need legal advice. We're not saying cut out the lawyers at all. And so often what will happen is people will come to mediation, they'll work out a framework and maybe even make some proposals, but nothing's binding on them until they've had the opportunity to go and see a solicitor and get some legal advice anyway. So, they're free to be able to really have those discussions without fear that they're going to incriminate themselves, or, you know, that they're going to be held to anything that they've said. They can really go to town on exploring all the options that might be available to them, which is particularly helpful with children, obviously, because there's lots of things to talk about with children.
Absolutely. I'm sure, I mean, that's the minefield, isn't it? Mary, what are your best tips and advice for families in a situation where they're considering separation or already started?
Well, I think where there are children involved, in fact, I've picked up on your previous speakers, they're so right, and I'd prepared to come to say to you, you really got to involve the children and let them know what's happening.
Actually, they involve them in the process. Up.
You've got to tell them, you've got to talk to them about it. They'll be worrying about, am I going to leave my school? You know, what's happening with my friends? What will my friends think? And I think the parents have to be singing from the same hymn sheet on this, just as they would over choices of schools or any other parenting issue. They've got to tell the children what's happening and give the children the confidence that their parents will go on parenting them consistently as parents, even if they're not in the same family. And it's just awful when the children become, you know, almost the focus for conflict, which they often do, I'm afraid. You know, everything's a battle, the choice of school, what time the children get to school at, you know, what they eat, what medicine they have. Some parents just fight about everything,
yeah.
And of course we're sitting here giving you a counsel of perfection, but of course people's emotions are very, very difficult, and people get very hurt and they feel very vulnerable, and they want to protect themselves, and that extends to their children. Often there's a misconception about how they can best protect their children. So talking and is very, very important, communication. And
great. So that's the top tip. Communicate, yeah. Involve the children.
Yeah.
Louise,
I think one thing we're also finding, Louise and I were talking about this outside, is Facebook and social media is playing a huge part now in these conflicts. And, you know, people get their friends and all this stuff's going on Facebook, and it's just spreading out everywhere, and then it pollutes people's relationships in a whole community, you know, family and friends, nasty things being said. So I think parents really should think about, don't make it public, you know, it's horrible.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, because it forces people to take sides,
yes,
in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah. It makes it public.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, in terms of top tips, I mean, obviously we're going to say go and see a lawyer, go and see a mediator.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are obviously very experienced in dealing with this situation. And I think what I would say is be careful about your choice of solicitor, because a family specialist is really important, because we deal with things in a quite a different way. We take quite a different approach than, say, a commercial lawyer. But also resolution, which Mary mentioned earlier is an organisation of family mediators and lawyers, and the lawyers that belong to it have to subscribe to a code of practice where we agree to basically adopt a constructive approach to the dispute rather than, you know, winding everybody up and just getting milking it for all we can. You know, we do genuinely try and help people deal with things as amicably as they can. So looking for somebody who's resolution accredited, and they can do that by going to the resolution website, which is www.resolution.org.uk, and there's a search facility on there where you can find a local solicitor who belongs to resolution. And there's also a bunch of information on their website as well that's really helpful, particularly for parents who are going through separation and various other things.
Yeah, just went to, that's a fantastic tip. That's not a website we've come across, so thank you. That's a great one.
Absolutely. And so if, obviously, mediators are usually housed within legal lawyer company.
Not necessarily, no. Oh, okay. So not all mediators are lawyers by background. Some have a more therapeutic background, so they might have been social workers or counsellors, teachers even. So no, they don't have to be lawyers. The members of resolution tend to be, but no, they don't have to be lawyers by background.
Right. So I'm just thinking about how to find. So resolution is your way to find your mediator and your lawyer.
That's one way. One way of finding.
Great. Mary, can you give us an idea of the kind of financial implications of this? What does legal advice cost?
People who are going through a divorce are unlikely to get much change out of £3,000 if there's any sort of financial issue involved. Would you agree with that, Louise?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how much they want to ask for advice. A lot of people that I see come and just do a sort of pay-as-you-go thing, because some people just don't have £3,000.
Yeah.
And if they want the full service, then it's going to cost more, and if they want the lower service, then obviously...
But it's not cheap.
No.
So, yes, it's even if you're doing it yourself, it's still dipping in and out of legal advice. But, you know, these things are proportionate as well. If you've got a pension that's worth several hundred thousand pounds, then, and it's really a very specialist area, you're going to need legal advice to look at that. So, you know, the cost is probably, you know, proportionately worth incurring.
Absolutely. Well, it's absolutely. When you say, and I mean, that's a whole realm that I hadn't even thought of. Obviously, there's pensions and assets and, you know, apart from houses, the obvious ones that you've got to take into consideration.
Yes. I think the other thing to mention on the subject of funding is that many people traditionally have had the option of legal aid if they're on low incomes or certain benefits, but that's all about to change in April. With government cutbacks, there's going to be very, very little legal aid around anymore. So if you are on a low income and you go and see a solicitor and you say, can I have legal aid, please? Generally, the answer is going to be no. Legal aid is, however, still going to be available for mediation, because the government are really backing mediation as a way forward. And so people can still go to mediation for free if they are eligible for legal aid.
Great. That's really, it's great advice from both of you. Thanks very much. Mary, can I contact details for Neave Solicitors?
Yeah, it's Neave's LLP, www.neaveslp. Can also mention Hertfordshire Collaborative Lawyers, and it was mentioned by Louise. Collaborative Lawyers is a way of trying to, very similar to mediation, get people to choose what they want to focus on. We prepare anchor statements so that people are holding on to what they really want at the beginning of the process, and if they go on the website www.heartsfamilylaw.co.uk, they'll find lots of local collaborative lawyers.
Brilliant stuff. And Louise, for Bretherton Law, what are the contacts?
Yeah, we're actually, the full name of the firm is Quality Solicitors Bretherton Law. And we've got a website, qualitysolicitors.com/Bretherton Law, or you can phone us or email me. The phone numbers, we're in St Albans, so we're 869-293.
Great stuff. And if anybody's got any questions for us, it's parentshow@radioverulam.com, and we'll put you in touch with Mary and Louise if you so wish. Thank you very much for your advice.
You're welcome.
Help.
Thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
Now, coming up in just after the next song, where the next break, we'll be talking to Joe. I've had Joe, help me, Kathy.
Jo Maher. Standing outside. I can see her. Jo Maher from Vista St Albans, who's going to be adding a few more agencies and organisations on our list of helpful people out there locally. So Jo's going to come in and give us the lowdown on if you've got children in this situation, where you can find help quite easily.
Friendly Radio. We're Radio Verulam in West Harts.
Welcome back to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. We have Jo Maher. I'm so sorry, Jo. I can't believe I forgot your name. I don't know what's going on. Jo Maher from Vista St Albans in the studio with us now to talk to us about what support is out there for people going through separation. Obviously, we mean for the kids.
Yep. I'm here for the children's angle, really, because I work with schools and connected to the children in the schools in St Albans. We also, as a service, we help an awful lot of parents either before, during or after family breakdown. It's very, very sad situations, and I think I just wanted to stress that this is not something that suddenly happens. Children live under huge tense atmospheres and it can go on for years and years and years before even a separation takes place. As I think Lucy mentioned earlier, they do feel they're to blame and they are very, very often forced to take sides. We find sometimes a bad partner suddenly becomes a bad parent. So if a parent has left home, say for example dad, suddenly dad is a bad dad, and we really try to get the parents to sing from the same sheet, but obviously this doesn't always happen. If there's a lot of anger, resentment and goodness knows what, parents don't join together, and they both think they're doing the best for their child, and there's the child stuck in the middle. So one of the things really to really stress is that school is a very important place at this time for children. If it's really vital that parents inform the school what's going on at home. If a decision has been made, they need to let the school know what's happening. If there's, just from the practical terms, if there's not different people picking up, neighbours, aunties, uncles, and, you know, what has actually happened in the home. We treat this situation for particularly a younger primary school child like loss. It's the same as a bereavement. They do suffer loss if suddenly a parent has left the home and there's been huge anxieties, there's stress, and also the adult left in the home may be in a bad state. So they're dealing with an awful lot. We could look at them also as if they're young carers, if only temporarily. So please, if you're going through this situation, you must inform the school. That the school can become the safe place for that child. If home is suddenly a chaotic place, they need somewhere safe to be, and at least routines and people they know and friends are there at school every day.
I'm just thinking from a parent's perspective. I mean, it's obviously very, it's an embarrassing, it's a stigmatised situation. Yeah. It's embarrassing. Like, having the courage to go in and tell the school, at what point do you do it? And if you do, you know, can it be undone? Because maybe you do find a resolution and then you've gone and told the school that you're having marital problems. You know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
It's really difficult. And people tend to tell school until obviously something's actually happened and a decision has been made. And, as said before, there's been years ahead of arguing and fighting that have been going on. And the children are witnessing this every day in the house. There's also the awful playground where there's gossip. So gossip can reach the school office sometimes, obviously, before something happens. But I think it's best to be open and honest if you can be, for the sake of your children, so that they can be looked after at school with consideration and extra support put in place.
And who's the person to tell?
The lovely ladies in the office in a primary school usually are the first port of call, or you may want to go straight to the head teacher. Okay. If it's serious, if there's violence in the home, obviously that's something very different. But really a teacher or the head teacher should be informed, even if just things are going wrong at home. Yeah. It's the same as if you had any sort of family crisis, you should tell the school. I mean, we often find that we're beginning to help grandparents a lot now. There's a lot of wider family members that get brought into this whole family situation. So say mum has to go back to work, the grandparents suddenly became childcare, and they find very difficult situations. They sometimes are then denied rights or access to their grandchildren. There's huge issues caused by divorce and separation, and it affects all sorts of members of the family. There may be neighbours who suddenly get dragged in to take children to school. They may not want to, but they want to help out. So, you know, it can affect a lot of people.
Of course it can. I mean, the list is endless, isn't it?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. There's a brilliant charity called the Grandparents Association, which helps grandparents. They can literally help you with anything to do with your grandparents' rights, support groups, law, practical advice and help. Their helpline, or you could Google them, is 0845 434 9585. Obviously, all schools in St Albans and District have school family workers, which you would find at Vista St Albans, or if you're not in our partnership, you can always ask for help from a school family worker. There's a fantastic, I don't know if people know about St Albans District Credit Union, who are really great helping any parents with financial difficulties. Lovely people, very local and wonderful. They're on 01727 859135. They're on the Hatfield Road. Citizens Advice Bureau, we often signpost our families in distress to the Citizens Advice. There's a great provider called Parent Centred Support. Now, they are trained to deliver a course called My Mum and Dad Argue a Lot, which I've seen not all of the course, but a lot of it, and it's great. It literally looks at the effect of parental conflict on children, whether the parents are living together or not. Now, the only trouble with that course is that people obviously don't really like to put their hand up to sign themselves on to go to it, but they could give advice to parents. And their number is, we can leave their email address. It's parentinfo01@yahoo.co.uk. And St Albans District Council have an area on their website which gives help, and that's called the Divorce Bureau. So that telephone is 0800 731 9831. So there is local help for parents.
There's stacks of it. I'm really astonished that there is so much out there. It's great. Yeah. We'll put all those on our Facebook page, obviously, within the next half hour. So if there's anything you missed, don't worry, it'll be on our Facebook page. Jo, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's been
Jo Mar, thank you.
Thanks you so much.
Okay, thanks.
I got it right. We just after this next break, we'll be talking to Claire Healy from Raring to Go about her family fair that's upcoming.
In a recent survey, 7 out of 10 adults claimed the thought of returning to work ruined their Sunday.
But now, do not fear, for I, Johnny Seabrook, have the answer to those problems.
Sunday Lunch with Johnny Seabrook.
A perfectly blended mixture of great music, fun contests and informative features and entertaining chat every Sunday from midday.
The Radio Verulam Sunday Lunch on 92.6 FM Radio Verulam with Johnny Seabrook.
Guaranteed to blow those Monday blues away.
Welcome back to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. In just a second, we're going to talk to Claire Healy from Raring to Go about her family fair. But I just wanted to announce the winners of our signed copies, no less, of Steve Biddle's book, Raising Girls. We ran a competition last week. The question was, what's the name of his new book? Lots of you knew the answer. In fact, everybody knew the right answer, which is, of course, Raising Girls. Now, just to let you know who the winners were, we have Danuta Woodyat, Nick Lavin, Katie, Naomi Love and Candy Stripe Party Limited won. They all won copies of the book. So we will be shipping them off the second we get them from the publisher. And congratulations, well done to you. So, Claire from Raring to Go.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
How are things?
It's jolly cold out there. It's snowing again.
It is. Is it snowing now? It was sleeting when I was coming in.
Yes, well, it's sleety, snowy, horrible stuff. So it's just yuck. Yeah. It's February, it's yuck, and it's about to be half term. So,
yeah.
So next week, I'm going to be going through all the half-term activities.
Excellent.
They're all inside. You'll be pleased to know.
It's terrible.
But I thought I'd hold off on that, and I'll save that till next weekend, because a lot of them you don't have to book for. It's just a few suggestions, really. But what I wanted to do today was to flag up a date in April when it's going to be nice.
Get the calendars out.
Yeah, get your calendars out. Saturday, the 20th of April. That's a very, very big event is happening at the Auburn Arena. It's called the St. Albans and District Family Fair. And it's something that I'm co-organising with actually Jo Marr and another lady, Karen Broom from Cool Kids Parties. And we've decided that we need a big community event that's going to be a fantastic, fun day out for children and for families. So we've on a whim booked the Auburn Arena, and we have got so much going on. It's going to be the most fantastic day. It's open from 11 till 5, and it's going to be free entry, so it's free for anybody to come in and have a wander around. And I'll tell you some of the things that we're going to have going on. We've basically got all three floors, and I don't know if anyone's been in the arena when they put all the chairs back again, like for the beer festival and the
the trains. A few years ago now, mind you.
Yeah, well, it's massive, it's huge, the Auburn Arena, so there's loads and loads of space, and obviously there's the stage as well. And what we're going to be doing throughout the day, we're going to be having activities, a programme of activities on the stage. So various things. Some will be performances, some will be interactive, so people can come and join in. Some are for adults, some are for children. And we'll have something going on, something different every half hour. There's just a huge variety from circus skills to singing to comedy workshops to all sorts of things. It's going to be really, really good fun. So that's happening on the stage every half hour. It's hosted, the whole thing is going to be hosted by Jamie Rickers, who is of Nickelodeon and CITV fame.
Fantastic.
So he is a fantastic, vibrant, lively guy. And then throughout the rest of the arena, we've got all sorts of things going on.
Can you give us a taster?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things that we've got booked so far, for example, we will have you'll be able to go in and dress up in some fancy dress outfits. It's all free. You can go and do some sand art. You can get your face painted. You could get caricatures done. You could go and sample some tutoring classes, do some fun quiz sheets. You can go and try out some equipment from different sort of sports companies. We've got clinics who will be going in, giving you taster sessions of massages, of facials, things like that. So there's things for the adults as well.
Great.
We will have some cupcake decorating, which will be able to be done. All sorts of things. We've got things, we've got sweet carts, we've got smoothies, just as two complete opposites, fresh smoothies being made on the day. So a complete variety. There will be advice stands where you can go to and seek help, for example, solicitors, for example, extra incomes for parents. For example, the St. Albans libraries are going to be there, the St. Albans museums. There is just such an array of information. I mean, with Jo's background, obviously, she's got so much advice for parents and for children to offer. So we've got lots and lots of different types of businesses. Some will be fun and lively and lighthearted. Some will be a little bit more serious. Some will be the kind that you'll stop and you'll actually take part in. Some you'll have it won't be relevant to you, but there is going to be something for everything. There'll be something going on all three floors basically throughout the day.
So if you aim to get in there for about 11 o'clock, could you have a bit of lunch there?
You can have the bar is open downstairs, so they'll be serving refreshments. I'm not sure what sort of refreshments at this stage, but there'll certainly be, I mean, there's the cafe next door, so you can wander in and out. There are no tickets. Do come and and make a day of it, or come in for an hour or so, pop into town and come back again. But we will be having our characters, who will remain a mystery until a couple of weeks beforehand. Our characters will be wandering around the town leafleting in early April to let every single family know what's going on. Great and you'll stuff. See information all over the place. We've got a Facebook page, we're tweeting. We are probably twittering more than anything else. We've got the website is up and running, and on the web on the Facebook page you can actually see some of the exhibitors who'll be there as well. So there's lots and lots going on. We want it to be a really, really fun event. If anybody's got any ideas, if anybody wants to take part, then please give us a shout. The website is saintalbansfamilyfair.org. So if you'd like to be involved, please go on the website and get in touch with us. There's a booking form there. There's information about it.
Great stuff.
And it's going to be a brilliant day. And obviously, Radio Verulam are going to be there. We're hoping with our outside broadcast.
Hopefully.
Show.
Indeed. Playing great music.
Yeah, there's lots and lots happening. I think it's going to be a great day. Something to bear in mind. And I will be bombarding you with more information as and when.
We fully expect it. And anticipated that'd be great. No, definitely, because it's a great one-stop shop, isn't it? Go there, you know, put it in your diaries now. Don't go away that weekend and just hop up to town and gather loads of leaflets and information. It's brilliant.
That's the intention, and hopefully lots of fun stuff for the children to do. They'll be kept active and involved, whilst parents can actually talk to some of the people who run some of these clubs and classes or some of these events without feeling the pressure of making that phone call. So I think it will be a really good fun day out.
Brilliant stuff.
And it won't rain in there, will it? It'll be warm and dry.
You just never know. I'm giving up. I think it's going to rain everywhere. It'll start raining indoors as well. Great stuff, Claire. Thanks a million for joining us this evening. And thanks to all our guests for their contributions to our show on separation. We're here at the same time next week.